feel like I just finished the other show. In fact, I did just finish the other show 15 minutes ago. Processed, posted, etc., ready to go. If you didn't listen to the early slate show, all right, fine, I forgive you. But we got six games on this late main slate. Should be a beauty. Actually, I like this slate as well. And this is really nice. It would be really nice if every Thursday it was 6-6. It's not always the way it is. You know, you get like a 3 and a 9, or you get like a 9 and a 3, or I don't know. But we got a really nice late slate here. And there's some things that I want to talk about before we jump into the late slate. That I think are important, and they relate to what happened last night. So let's look back at last night and figure out what we might be able to learn. One of these nights. The first thing is that ownership percentages swing instantly when a team puts up a big run total. Instantly. A team will kind of fly under the radar, normal performances, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 runs, don't catch people's attention. All of a sudden, Corey Seager goes out and he hits 3 home runs. His ownership goes up 20% the next night. Not because it's necessarily a better matchup. In fact, Tyler Pill, based on his ground ball rate, wasn't a better matchup. He didn't strike anybody out, but he really was not a better matchup for Seager because he gets more ground balls. And what are the chances that a guy is going to go out and hit 3 home runs 2 nights in a row? It's not going to happen. Bellinger, same thing. All of a sudden people go, oh man, I better pay attention to the Dodgers. Bellinger keeps hitting home runs. It's a trend that you have to realize. You either have to watch yourself doing it and chasing it and be like, I know I'm chasing right now. This team is hot. Fine. You can't be overexposed to a chase. Okay? If you're going to chase a guy who's hot, that makes sense. I get it. No problem. Getting a guy who's hot, heat check, it's a real thing. You do play the batters that are hot. That means they're seeing the ball well. They feel healthy. That means that they feel good about their swing. They're not working on something. Because the opposite is very, very, very true. When a guy is cold, it's because he's either unhealthy, he's not seeing the ball, or he's tweaking his swing game to game to game because his mechanics are off and he doesn't feel right. Carlos Gonzalez. What's happening with Cargo right now? You're not going to play a super-duper cold batter, okay? And if we believe that cold streaks are real for those reasons that are very, very legitimate, I mean, we attack pitchers that are cold that can't get it done, then I think the heat, the hot streak to some degree is also real. Regression comes and goes and everybody meets in the middle with a combination of both. But if we know that people are going to chase hot streaks, I think the Dodgers last night are a really, really, really good example of how to play this. Okay. The top scorers on the Dodgers last night were, I believe, Yasmani Grandal and Jock Peterson. Okay. Top scorers on the Dodgers, Yasmani Grandal, Jock Peterson. Grandal was in a great matchup the other night as well against the previous night when Seager went yard 3 times. That was a great matchup for Grandal. Couldn't do a blessed thing in that matchup. I think what we have to see is if we know that certain offenses are going to be chalky, we want to expose ourselves to the batters who are not hot sometimes, the batters who we are not chasing, the batters who are solid but are due for some regression and part of a unit that is going to be productive, right? Grandal just was in a good situation. That team is hot. He's a great hitter. It was a perfect time to play him. And if you had Yasmani Grandal, then you were saying, yes, I like the Dodgers tonight. But I know that Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager can't continue to hit massive numbers of home runs. Maybe Grandal will be the guy to leave the yard tonight. Maybe it'll be Jock Peterson who gets it going tonight. the love spreads around. So I think, you know, we're going to have to apply those lessons tonight, for example, with the Yankees, because people are going to probably chase Matt Holliday, and we got to try to make sure that we they're going to chase Matt Holliday. They're going to look at Aaron Judge and be like, ugh, it's annoying. He's too expensive. They're going to look at Gary Sanchez, annoying, too expensive. They're going to chase DD, all that kind of stuff. But we have to make sure that we stay disciplined in our approach and figure out where the leverage is in that lineup. So let's jump into tonight and take a look at the schedule that we have in MLB DFS. All right. So starting tonight, first game of the night is the Angels-Yankees, just like I said. Jesse Chavez versus Luis Severino. Yankees only projected for 5.5 runs. Fine. Not over 6 runs. That's okay. It's okay, guys. Don't worry about it. Yes, they get over 6 runs yesterday. This is not necessarily a worse spot for them. Chavez, stop me if you've heard this before, is an Angels right-hander who struggles with hard contact and home runs to righties. Yeah, we're going to the Yankees again. Don't worry. Don't worry. And Severino is in a great spot. Somebody on this Angel staff is going to figure out how to shut these guys down. Honestly, somebody will. I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody will. Indians Orioles, 10.5 runs projected here. Mike Clevinger versus Wade Miley. Clevinger is the slight favorite here, which says a lot about the Orioles offense, but also says a lot about Wade Miley. You could stack the shit out of this game, but the Indians aren't very good against lefties right now. You know, Lindor is one of their better hitters against lefties. We know E5 hits lefties and righties equally well. We know Wade Miley sucks. So, you know, I think you could definitely game stack this. And against Clevinger, he's got great strikeout upside. I have some interest in him against this Orioles team. The issue is that he also gives up home runs. He gives up the fly ball. He doesn't work too deep into games. Indians bullpen is good. Bottom line. Cubs Marlins, 9 runs projected here as Jake Arrieta goes up against Jeff Locke. And Arrieta is a slight favorite. And I want to play Justin Bour. That's what I'm going to play. I love Justin Bour in this spot, man. 3-2, his price goes down because he had a couple down games in that Washington series. But against Arrieta, he profiles perfectly. Arrieta's been giving up home runs to lefties. So that's where we're going. That's where we're going. We have no problem going with Justin Bour in this spot against Arrieta. Jeff Locke, you know, the Cubs, I can't start Jeff Locke. But I don't necessarily think that I'm going to attack the Cubs in this big ballpark against a lefty. I don't really know what we're going to get from this offense. Like, we saw a really good spot for him in that Mets series, and then they start to cool off when they're at home against San Diego staff that should be, you know, they should be able to take advantage of. I don't really trust the Cubs offense right now. Giants Braves, 9 runs projected here. Of course, plenty of rain in the forecast in Atlanta. It is dumping here in southern Tennessee, where we're getting a ton of water coming off the Gulf of Mexico. So a ton of rain in the forecast. We'll see about this one. This one really seems like it's actually a problem. You know, they've played through the rain the last couple days, just delayed starts. 9 runs projected as Matt Cain goes up against Jaime Garcia. Jaime Garcia, a 1-run favorite, and with good reason. We will talk about that game for sure. New York Mets, Dodgers, 8.5 runs projected here. Steven Matz versus Hyunjin Ryu. The Mets are only projected for 3.8 runs. I can't decide if I agree with this line. And I can't decide if Vegas is just throwing shade at the Mets because they're cold right now and they're banged up. I don't really know what they're saying about the Mets here. I don't think they're saying that Hyunjin Ryu is a good pitcher because he's fine. He's not great. His fastball is getting smacked. So I don't really know. And then you got Daniel Norris versus Andrew Moore in this Tigers-Mariners game, 9.5 runs projected here. And once again, this game will go under-owned. every single fucking time, this game is going to go under-owned. Under 5% every single night, guys. And I have no problem with stacking either side of this game. You know, here's the thing. Andrew Moore is coming up. This is his first start this year. So, you know, his minor league numbers in Mariners AAA average 23% hard contact rate or 23% strikeout rate, 10% swinging strike rate. Batted ball data, you know, pretty mild home run to fly ball rate, but he gives up way too many fly balls. And batters are pulling it on him, which means that he's giving up fly balls for power. So I could see, I wonder what kind of pitches he throws. Oh, they don't have pitch data on minor leaguers. They just announced this guy, by the way. They were going to start Gallardo. Yeah, I mean, xFIP of 4.2 in AAA is not that great. You know, he's 3-1. His walks are under control. His BABIP is fine. His ground ball rate is not that great. I mean, no. I mean, we can go after this guy. We can go after this guy. And then we get the freaking Mariners bullpen, which is pretty bad, too. So, no problem going after Andrew Moore. You know, if you're going to go after a righty with the Tigers lineup, though, you have to do it pretty carefully. And you're starting with Avila, okay? And, you know, you're starting with Avila, and you're probably looking at JD and Justin Upton. And that's probably what you're restricting yourself to. I wish I knew what this kid threw, because here's what we know. JD and Justin Upton hit the breaking stuff. This is not a team that hits the fastball very well. They don't hit the changeup really well. But JD and Justin Upton both hit breaking stuff. And by the way, Alex Presley has some interesting numbers as well. Making a lot of hard contact. It's just not turning into anything. So he could be interesting if he's way up there as a punt. And then on the Seattle side, well, we're going to talk about the Seattle side against Daniel Norris, because I know who Daniel Norris is. So we'll talk about that for sure. So that's it. Six games. Starts with the Angels and the Yankees, ends with the nobody plays us Detroit-Seattle game. So let's get into the player breakdown and figure out who we love here. Who do you love? All right. Pitching is kind of rough. But I got two names for you that I think are serviceable. I think Severino is going to basically be like Carmo on the early slate. he is going to be the highest owned and with good reason. Angels, you know, one of these Yankee starters. The Yankee starters, by the way, are really like kind of coming unraveled. You know, the Angels in the last 30 days against right-handers, above average hard contact rate at 33%. We know that they don't strike out a lot, but I think on this slate, you kind of have to take the best possible option that you have. And Severino certainly seems to have the most talent on the slate. So I think I got to go with Severino here. You know, he'll be massively owned. No question about Severino here. But, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. 27% K rate, 11% swinging strike rate, 20% K to walk ratio. That's excellent. 54% ground balls. That's excellent. We want a ground ball pitcher against the Angels. We do. We want a ground ball pitcher against the Angels, because if they can't get the home run going, then they're really not going to score a lot. 3.1 xFIP, 3.3 Sierra. You know, his last start against Oakland was rough, but he got through it. You know, it was that 4-run number that killed us. He got through it. You know, and if I remember correctly, I actually think Severino is better in Yankee Stadium than he is. He's away from Yankee Stadium. He's better. Pineda's better. Yeah, Severino is prone to give up a home run or two in Yankee State or at home. to a lefty. Wow. Yeah. So batted ball data versus lefties at home is, you know, not a ton of home runs, or excuse me, not a ton of hard contact, but the home run to fly ball ratio is 23% against lefties at home. So, you know, if you want to make an Angels hedge stack, just go ahead and just Luis Valbuena and Cole Calhoun. That's it. Luis Valbuena, Cole Calhoun. Those are the home run hitters that are lefties in the Angels lineup. You can hedge against Severino if you don't trust him. But, you know, I mean, he's been good, man. This guy's good. I think he's probably one of the best pitchers on the Yankees staff. You know, and they just were hitting righties. That's fine. We know they're hitting. But I think that, you know, we have to look at Severino here. But I think if you want to fade him, I actually am interested in Jaime Garcia, the Atlanta pitcher. I know that that's kind of weird. But Garcia has been really, really good. And we know that the San Francisco offense is bad. Are they better against left-handed pitching than they are against right-handed pitching? Yeah, a little bit, but they still only have a 27% hard contact rate on the season against lefties. They're pretty bad at making hard contact. Guess who's 30th against lefties in hard contact? This makes no sense, by the way. This is why sometimes some of these statistics are really hard to read. It's Houston. How the fuck is Houston have the worst hard contact rate against left-handed pitching, but then they also have the second highest WRC plus and second highest team WOBA in Major League Baseball? It does not make sense. I mean, I guess they kind of slap the ball. They're like Boston. They kind of slap the ball around a little bit sometimes and they don't strike out. But anyway, San Francisco, they're not the same. They don't make hard contact and they are 27th in the league in WRC plus against lefties. So they're bad. They're bad against lefties. We can certainly look at, Jaime Garcia right here against the Giants offense. It, you know, he is a guy who he's an elite ground ball pitcher. His numbers on, you know, his batted ball data is absolutely excellent. He owns a 2.2 ground ball to fly ball ratio, 56% ground ball rate, only allows 25% ground balls, only allows 25% hard contact. Really, really, really good stuff. Now, the issue comes with the K to walk ratio. You know, with only a 17% strikeout rate, he only has an 8% K to walk ratio. So he walks too many batters for as many for the number of strikes he throws. Like, he just doesn't. He's got a problem with that. You know, so that issue, that's not great. But as a ground ball pitcher against an offense that's not good, he's already pitched against them too. He went 7.5 innings. He only got 4 strikeouts. But, you know, I think one of the things that I'm heartened by is the last 2 starts against Miami and the Mets, he had 16 total strikeouts in those 2 starts. Now, he did give up quite a few runs to the Mets or to Miami. But Miami actually kind of thrives on ground balls. They actually hit the ball on the ground a lot. They have one of the higher ground ball rates in the league, but they're still pretty good offense. So interesting that different approach. You know, they slap the ball, they hit for average, and then every once in a while somebody will knock in a home run. But a lot of those hitters outside of Stanton and Ozuna and Boer are kind of hit for average guys, like Christian Yelich, D. Gordon. Those guys are hit for average, get the ball, get on base. So Miami does fine against ground ball pitchers because they don't mind hitting ground balls. But I think San Francisco in this situation is going to struggle. You know, they have a hard time with power anyway. If they can't get any home runs, then they're really going to struggle with offense. So I'm interested in Garcia. His fastball, interestingly enough, grades out as actually, I think, the best on the slate in 2017, which is to me very, very interesting. Kind of an unexpected. Yeah, him and Ivan Nova, his slider is rough. His slider gets hit hard, but his fastball grades out as one of the best on the slate. So, you know, that's always good when you got a guy who has a great fastball. Guess who has the worst fastball? Hyunjin Ryu. So let's talk about the bats here, because we got a lot of offensive options on this slate. More offense than pitching is what I'll say. So you got to get your pitching right. When you don't have a lot of pitching options, you got to get it right. So as far as offense goes, we got to go back to the Yankees here, guys. I know that sounds like ridiculous. I've talked about the Yankees in this series the entire time, but you have good weather. You have an Angels staff that struggles with the home run ball. Okay. And you know, that's just like the classic story here with the Yankees. They got two home runs last night off of, what's his face? The other righty that struggles with home runs against righties. Anyway, Chavez, he gets shelled by right-handers. It's his fastball. It's his slider. They're both problems. He also throws a changeup. It's fine. It's his best pitch, but it's, you know, it's not grading out as elite. So it's Gary Sanchez day, you guys. And this is what I've been talking about. Sanchez burn people. People aren't going to chase Sanchez. Everybody played him last night because, oh, you get a righty against a guy who struggles with righties. This guy throws Sanchez's favorite pitch and he does it in a shitty way. It's Gary Sanchez day. I love me some Gary Sanchez against him, you know, and maybe people will fade him because they got burned. Maybe people will chase Holiday or Didi because he's a lefty against a righty. But Didi, you don't chase Didi because he actually hits lefties better than he hits righties. Now, as far as, you know, just heat map and like pitch IQ and like figuring out who else is going to be in a good spot here, I don't mind Judge, but the problem is that Chavez seems to pitch guys inside, which is not Judge's spot. So I think Gardner is very much in play. And I don't mind Hicks. I don't mind Holiday as well. I don't mind Matt Holiday as well. I mean, Matt Holiday is a great batter and he's underpriced. So for me, the four man would be Hicks, Holiday and Gardner. But you know, the Yankees are always kind of doing weird things with their lineup in this last day of the series. So keep an eye out for a goofy lineup. You may get some weird guys sitting and stuff like that, or some, you know, like Rob Riffsnyder at the top of the lineup or something weird like that. So keep your eye out there against Chavez. See what the Yankees do as far as a lineup. But I think Gary Sanchez is my favorite play. And if you just want to play Gary Sanchez one-offs, that's fine. I have no problem with Gary Sanchez one-offs. And it's, you know, it's about not chasing. It's about going to the offense that you like and finding the right pieces and knowing that it doesn't matter necessarily whether or not, you know, they've been the one who's hitting or not hitting. So I think that Gary Sanchez is going to be my pick to click tonight. I like, as far as other spots on this slate, there's some interesting spots. The one other team stack that I feel very comfortable with is actually the Braves against Matt Cain. Now, Matt Cain, the reason that I like the Braves against Matt Cain, this isn't a power team, right? This isn't a team. This is basically one power bat in Matt Adams right now until Freddie Freeman comes back and plays third base. Yes, it's going to be fucking awesome. God, can you imagine the Braves lefty stack when Freeman comes back and plays third and he's batting get Nick Markakis out of there, right? And third, in the three hole. Inciarte. Well, maybe Markakis would move him up to second or something. I mean, that's just a great lefty stack. Inciarte, Freeman, and Adams. Whew. I don't have to play Markakis anymore. Maybe I play Matt Kemp instead. This team's great. I love the Braves. Love them. Love them. Love them, love them, love them. Anyway, so Freddie Freeman coming back, but he's not back yet. So we got to play Matt Adams and Ender Inciarte as my two favorite pieces of that team. You know, Matt Cain is a guy who does not strike out a soul. He is just kind of a pitch to contact guy, you know, but he doesn't get a lot of ground balls. The thing is he doesn't give up a lot of hard contact, but his xFIP in his Sierra, 5.2, 5.4, he gives up a ton of hits every single game. This is like an ideal spot for Ender Inciarte. It's like he doesn't have to hit a home run. He can just hit some base hits and get on base and, you know, just wait for someone to hit him home. It's perfect. It's exactly what Inciarte does. He's one of the better leadoff batters in the league. He just gets on and lets somebody else do the work. But he only has a 13% strikeout rate, 4% swinging strike rate, almost 10% walk rate, the worst K to walk ratio on the slate at 4%. You know, and you'd think, okay, maybe he's a ground ball pitcher. He's only a 44% ground ball rate. And he does struggle with lefties. I mean, those are the ones who get to him. He actually has a negative K to walk ratio when it comes to lefties. They're walking more than they're striking out. That's terrible. You know, he doesn't give up a lot of power. That's the thing. He does away from AT&T, and AT&T, he doesn't give up home runs, but it's really hard to give up a home run in that big ballpark. So, you know, but away from AT&T, he is a much worse pitcher. His xFIP actually goes up to 6.6 on the road. So we're absolutely stacking the Braves here. I think a three-man is in play with Inciarte, Markakis, and Adams. Inciarte and Adams being my two favorites, I think a two-man is perfectly acceptable. But I would also possibly add Matt Kemp because he hits righties really well. As well. So I don't mind Matt Kemp. He's a little bit pricey and, you know, he's kind of a fluky home run hitter. So, you know, for that price, I may not play Matt Kemp, but people aren't going to play him. That's the thing is nobody plays Matt Kemp. All right. Other spots on this slate that I want to target. Okay. And I don't think these are full stacks, but these are pairs. These are interesting things that you can do, for leverage. I think that the Detroit-Seattle game is very interesting. Now, I mentioned on the Detroit side that I'm already interested in Alex Avila, and I wish I knew what this kid threw because I'd be interested in Martinez or Upton as well. But, I mean, J.D. Martinez is always liable to go yard, so I have no problem with Avila and J.D. Look for the lineup. You know, if we get, like, a weird leadoff batter like a Dixon Machado or a Alex Presley or something goofy like that, then you automatically plug in that guy because he can get knocked around, and they're cheap. They're all cheap. Those guys are all cheap in that lineup. John Hicks is interesting as well. So look at him. Maybe if he's up in the lineup there, figure out what they're trying to do with, you may get an interesting lineup from Detroit. So we'll keep an eye on that. But on the opposite side, I think Seattle is interesting against Daniel Norris. Now, Daniel Norris gives up too much hard contact. And he gives up his problems with lefties. They're the ones that hit send him yard. Now, he strikes them out pretty well, but he gives up too much hard contact for me to feel like he's going to be able to get through this Seattle lineup cleanly. There's just too much. You know, he gives up the hard contact to righties. He gives the home runs to lefties. I think we can have some exposure to Seattle in this spot. I'm not going to go out of my way to pick on him because his home run to fly ball rate is actually one of the lowest on the slate, which is interesting. For a guy who gives up 42% hard contact, you would think that he would be giving up home runs. He's actually not. He's actually not. But his fastball is grading out as one of the worst on the slate, okay? And he leads the slate in hard contact, if I'm correct. He leads the slate in... Yeah, he leads the slate in hard contact, right behind my boy Nick Turley and Martin Perez, or right ahead of them. And let me see. Oh, I don't have my barrel chart up. I was going to look up the barrel rate on him. Well, I'll do that real quick. So I think that we can look to just the righties and the lefties here. And I don't think you have to play Nelson Cruz. He's been kind of cold lately, so I wouldn't touch him. I would go for Gene Segura is back. Now, is he going to be healthy? Is he going to stay there the whole game? I think he's interesting, but Gene Segura, Ben Gamel are both interesting. Righty lefty at the top, inexpensive. And then you get the Cano and Cruz. Robinson Cano continues to be underpriced, so I don't mind him, although he hasn't been hitting that much. Neither has Cruz, but you have Cruz against a lefty who has a lot of hard contact issues. So, I mean, you tell me if you want to fade Cruz against a lefty. Daniel Norris, dead middle of the pack in barrel rate, barrel FIP. But, wow, I didn't realize this. He has a 10% walk rate. He's got a walk issue, Daniel Norris does, so that's interesting. And then I think the other Seattle bats, you can go back to Kyle Seager, you can go back to Mitch Haniger. You know, Mitch Haniger was a good example last night. I was kind of pissed off when I found out that he wasn't in the top of that lineup. But my thought was, okay, the Detroit bullpen, this guy's a power bat. He's going to regress. He was all the way down in, you know, in I think the seven. So I ended up having 3-5-7 from Seattle. Cruz, Seager, Haniger. And Haniger was the one who left the yard. You know, Haniger was the one that left the yard. So that was reassuring. I was glad to see that. I think the Seattle stack is in play. But I don't think you have to go out of your way and pay for the really expensive ones. They're inexpensive. So Jean Segura, Haniger, Cano, maybe Nelson Cruz if you really want to go all the way in on them. But you can use Seattle to fill in around your other stacks is what I'm saying. They should be productive tonight. And they get the Detroit bullpen, which is absolutely terrible after they go through Norris. Miami against Arrieta. This is an interesting spot. I think this is a leverage spot because of limited pitching options. People are naturally going to gravitate towards Jake Arrieta. And you and I both know, if you've been paying attention, this is not the same Jake Arrieta that was Jake Arrieta of last year. And in fact, for a little while I was doing some of the research, I was looking at one of my StatCast leaderboards, and it was showing me Jake Arrieta 2016 statistics, and I was like, man, he actually has been pretty. And then I was like, oh wait, this is 2016. His fastball is not the best on the slate. And then I clicked over to 2016. Just, he's not the same guy this year, guys. You know, strikeouts and the swinging strike rate is there. The hard contact is up. The home run rate is up. The fly ball rate is up. He's not getting as many ground balls. He's allowing more base runners. He's allowing more, you know, he's getting hit harder by lefties. And we talked about this, and it's primarily because his velocity is down this year. That's it. His velocity is down, and that's the problem. So lefties are getting to him. They're slugging. He's got a 375 wOBA allowed. His xFIP goes up to 4.2 against lefties. His walk rate goes up against lefties. He gives up the home runs to lefties. He's almost 2 home runs per 9 to lefties. And away versus lefties, he really struggles. So with the home run ball, that is by far his worst profile. So, hello, Justin Bour. He is the lefty home run hitter on this team. And actually, interestingly enough, as far as like the spray chart, the heat chart goes, Marcelo Zuna profiles really well as well. And we know that he's the other home run hitter. You know, Arrieta's very good against righties. He runs clean against righties. But against lefties, I think Justin Bour is in a really, really good spot tonight. In fact, Justin Bour, he hits the change, he'll hit the splitter, he'll hit the slider. The sinker, not so much. But, you know, you guys don't know this, but Arrieta's using the sinker 50% of the time. His other pitches, the curve, the slider, those are the two primary other pitches, and Justin Bour really can hit the slider. So that's a pitch that he likes. You know, I think Justin Bour is in a good spot here. And if you want to go with the lefty stack, I have no problem with the Miami lefty stack. In fact, I think the Miami lefty stack is pretty affordable. If we look at it, you know, and what you're going to probably get, let me see this lineup here. Sorry, I'm clicking around. You're going to get D Gordon at 3-2. Christian Yelich at 3-5, Justin Bour at 3-2, Derek Dietrich at 2-7. That's not terrible. You know, it's 1-3-5-7. You get access to almost the entire lineup of Miami. And we know when Miami gets going, they can actually put something together. And against righties, let's see. I have this up in front of me. Against righties in the last 30 days against righties, this team is fourth in the league in WRC plus with a 356 wOBA, just behind Houston, New York, and the Mets, with only a 19% strikeout rate, just ahead of Tampa Bay, just ahead of Cleveland against right-handed. Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah, Cleveland against righties, they've been good. And their batted ball data, Miami with a hard hit rate right in the middle of 31%, right in the middle there. So certainly have some interest in Miami in this spot against Arrieta, especially for leverage purposes, because people are going to start Arrieta and you're going to start Miami instead of that, because that's how leverage works. last spot. I think you got to look at the Mets and the Dodgers game. And I think you have to do this in a really interesting way. This is a game stat candidate, and this is the leverage spot. First of all, this could be the night that the Mets get right, okay? They hit lefties hard. We saw them hit Kershaw. They hit lefties hard. Now, I think, you know, we have to kind of tread lightly here, because Ryu has a good curveball, and most of these guys, you know, they're not... This isn't a perfect situation, is what I'll say. Okay, because this Mets lineup does and can really strike out a lot, okay? But I think that you can go with a Mets lineup that is going to be minusculely owned. And to me, it probably looks like Flores, Cespedes, Bruce. 2-3-4. Jay Bruce is hitting lefties. And that is really, really, really interesting to me. I mean, we saw him hit Kershaw. He's got BVP against Ryu. And if I think Jay Bruce is an interesting spot. And just people aren't going to play him. It's lefty-lefty. He's expensive. It's the last game of the night. I think this is an interesting spot for Flores, Cespedes, Bruce. It's expensive. It could totally flop. I get it. Now, and Vegas hates it. But that's what leverage. That's how you get leverage. You go against the crowd. On the Dodgers side, this is a great spot. Mats is interesting. Mats had a really nice start recently. You know, and they actually strike out quite a bit. But Mats proved that he can give up the home run, because he gave up 3 home runs to the Nationals in his first start of the year here. And if I'm correct, when I wrote this down, hold on 1 second. Who's he getting shelled by? Hold on 1 second, guys. Let me pull this up. I have so many notes and windows open because of the 2 slates. I forgot to close all my early slate notes. So I'm like, oh God, what am I doing with all of this information about the Athletics? Yeah, I mean, Matt's just, you know, career 23% strikeout rate. That's great. He's clearly, you know, as a career pitcher, he's got some really, really good numbers. You know, and hopefully the kid regresses or returns to his 2016 form. But until then, he has given up all those home runs to right-handed bats. And I think what we have to think of here is the Dodgers. No one thinks of the Dodgers righties in this situation. And you have some righties who can actually really hit. And against left-handers, the Dodgers, while they are striking out at a pretty decent clip, they also have in the last, over the season, they actually have a deceptively high 33% hard contact rate. And the Mets are 34% hard contact rate. That is good enough for the 4th and 6th highest hard contact rates in MLB, just behind teams like Detroit, Tampa Bay, Milwaukee, Baltimore in there as well, actually, interestingly enough. So I think the Dodgers righties are in play. And so for me, Chris Taylor and Logan Forsyth are like almost a lock. These two are righties. They hit lefties. They're cheap. They will probably move to the top of the order as platoon splits guys. But here's where you get tricky. Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager hit lefties too. People, they burned them last night. Oh, they're too expensive. Oh, they're going to, you know, they're going up against the lefty and Mats. Don't care. They hit. Look at the numbers. They're hitting lefties. So No problem with Bellinger and Seager. I don't think you have to play them. Taylor and Forsyth are an excellent spot. And you know what? If you want cheap Dodgers and you want part of that lineup, go to Austin Barnes. He'll be in the lineup for Yadier because they trade, or not Yadier, for Yasmani. They trade those guys out. They flip-flop them. So there's a lot of leverage in this Miami, or excuse me, this New York game. There's a lot of spots to go with bats, guys. You're going to probably want to build a couple different lineups. So let's jump over there to FanDuel and let's figure out how we are going to build this main slate lineup. All right. So I'm starting with, I'm going to start with Jaime Garcia. And it's mostly because Severino is going to have massive ownership. And I think that Jaime Garcia is just going to kind of be fine. And then I'm immediately going to go to my punt catcher, Austin Barnes, at $2,000. I know he's going to be in the lineup. I know this is a decent spot for him against you know who I'm talking about. Come on. Don't play dumb. You know who I'm talking about. Steven Matz. Then I'm going to go to Logan Forsyth because why not get more cheap Dodgers? And then I'm going to go to Chris Taylor because why not get more cheap Dodgers? I love the Dodgers. Three-man Dodger stack that is the cheap, low-owned, right-handed hitting part of the Dodger stack against Steven Matz and the Mets bullpen at the core. I now have $3,800 to pay for whatever bats I want. Now, I can very easily stack the hell out of the Yankees here. Okay? Very easily stack the heck out of the Yankees. And in fact, maybe that's what we should do. So let's go to Matt Holliday, Aaron Judge, Brett Gardner. Okay? And then all I need is second base and shortstop. Second base and shortstop. I can go with John Schoop is so tempting. And here's why John Schoop is tempting. He hits the hell out of righties. He is by far the best hitter right now on the Yankees. By the way, the Cleveland stack is totally in play, and I've completely neglected to talk about Cleveland like an asshole. The Cleveland stack against Wade Miley, the Cleveland-Baltimore game stack is 100% in play, and hopefully you listen far enough into the show to get to this, and maybe that's what we'll do. Well, actually, hold on. So I could go Jean Segura and Robinson Cano. That's a really nice little spot right there, okay? Really nice little spot to, a lefty and a righty against Norris. It's interesting for sure. Okay. Or I can go with second base shortstop. I could get Starlin Castro in there. Or I could go with Corey Seager and then another second baseman, $3,000 second baseman. Oh, actually, second base is pretty dead. You're going to have to pay for second base tonight, guys. You're going to have to pay for second base tonight. Actually, let's do this. Hold on one second. Let's get off Holiday. Let's go Gary Sanchez. Let's go Justin Bour. Let's go D. Gordon. And then I have shortstop, outfield. I'm going to go with shortstop. I'm going to go Corey Seager. And then I have a $3,100 outfielder. And they're named Seth Smith will be batting leadoff for Cleveland against Clevinger. Don't mind him. Don't mind Austin Jackson against them. Don't mind Yasiel Puig against a lefty. He's interesting. He's a guy that nobody plays who hits righties and lefties, by the way. Has been very productive in the games that he's played recently. you know, he's mostly a home run guy. We know that. But when he's playing, he's either striking out or he's playing really well. So, you know, any one of those guys, this is interesting though. All right. So this is the, I've got Dodgers, I've got Yankees, I've got Marlins. All right. So three man Dodgers stack with Logan Forsyth, Corey Seager, and Chris Taylor. Hopefully that will be the core of that order. You know, nobody's going to play Corey Seager against a lefty, but he hits them just as well. I've got two Yankees in Gary Sanchez and Brett Gardner. Now, I could go down to a cheaper Yankee if I wanted to. And maybe I could, you know, do like a Hicks if he's closer in the order to, hold on. Let me see if this works. I'm going to try this. If I go down to Hicks at 3,400, the question on everyone's mind is, can I afford? Oh, Christian Yelich. Don't you hate that feeling? Christian Yelich is $3,500. I was just there. It was just the full Miami lefty stack. It was a three-man Miami lefty stack. Well, let's see. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, this is boring. All right. Well, here's what I'm $100 short of, but you get a sense. I don't want to just keep dragging this on. You get a sense of what I'm thinking. I go with Gary Sanchez and Aaron Hicks, the Yankees pair, right? Because I love Gary Sanchez tonight. I go with the lefty stack of Miami because who's going to play the lefties? D. Gordon, Christian Yelich, and Justin Bour. And then the three-man Dodgers stack of Forsyth, Seager, Taylor. Okay, so two three-mans and a two-man, 3-3-2, love that spot. It's $100 short. So that's really fucking annoying. What I originally had was Brett Gardner. And then, you know, I could also take Aaron Judge and a punt outfielder. I could take Brett Gardner and then a $3,000 one-off for outfield like Seth Smith that I was talking about. Or, you know, or I could pay down at second base. You know, off of D. Gordon to, you know, Starlin Castro is the same price. I have no problem with Starlin Castro. I could go, if TJ Rivera's in that Mets lineup, I think that could be really interesting. Or, you know, you can pay up, to John Scope. I don't mind John Scope as a one-off, and I don't mind Robinson Cano either. I mean, we know he doesn't really hit lefties that well, but Norris has a home run problem with lefties, so I have no problem with him either in this spot. So interesting all around. I think if you want to go with Severino, then you got to find some savings. You know, you got to find some savings out there. It's going to be difficult to play Gary Sanchez with Severino. It's not impossible, that's for sure. But I think you can definitely do, you know, that three-man Dodgers, Austin Barnes, Logan Forsyth, Chris Taylor, and then maybe Justin Bour, D. Gordon, Christian Yelich. Let's see, Christian Yelich. That's a three-man Miami stack. And then I have money for shortstop. I have plenty of money for shortstop and outfield. And I could go either with Corey Seager and then a $3,500 outfielder like Aaron Hicks, or you could go to, well, let's see, if we upgrade Austin Barnes to Gary Sanchez, then yeah, then you got $2,700. So that kind of is restricting. It's kind of restricting. So, you know, you're thinking maybe correlate, you could go Alex Avila, JD Martinez, and then punt. You could do Wilson Contreras is interesting against the lefty. I like him as a catcher, but Austin Barnes, I think, is the cheapest and most reasonable option. And we're going to see him in the lineup and he'll probably go overlooked. So Austin Barnes, and then pay, you know, for Corey Seager and Aaron Hicks or Justin Upton, Ender and Ciarte. Any $3,500 is a really, really nice price point tonight on this slate. So plenty there. Plenty of love for that stack as well. Three-man Dodgers stack. Austin Barnes, Logan Forsyth, Corey Seager. with Justin Bour, D. Gordon, Christian Yelich, the lefties in the Miami stack, Ender and Ciarte as well. So that's it. There's a lot of options out there. I rambled. I was a little bit disorganized after doing two shows. So good luck in your contest, guys, and we will see you tomorrow.